This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
This podcast is sponsored by the Premier Surgical Office-Based Surgery Center in Knoxville. Accredited, affordable care performed by surgeons you can trust.
I just wanted to come by and congratulate you on the great work you've been doing.
I like your style. You remind me of a young me.
Failure is not an option.
That boy is good.
Home, remind yourself. Nobody built like you. You design yourself.
Attaboy.
It is time for Attaboy, where we highlight positivity inside and outside the world of sports. Attaboy is sponsored by Premier Surgical and PremierSurgical.com.
Having surgery can be scary, and having to navigate a massive medical center can be even more overwhelming. Fortunately, there is the Premier Office-Based Surgery Center in Knoxville over on Paper Mill Drive. It's a convenient and affordable option for your surgical care. They have skilled surgeons and a friendly staff that will treat you just like family. And their state-certified accredited center is designed for your comfort. Visit PremierSurgeryPackages.com for all of their details. That is the Premier Office-Based Surgery Center. Surgical expertise you can trust. I just have a quick attaboy for Killer Chris. Now, is it because he shined in the game or whatever, or in the scrimmage, I mean? No. It's because he's on the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm watch list. Now, does the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm watch list think that he's going to be the starter? Maybe. But the main attaboy here is that Keller Christ is an exemplary student athlete. Now, I get what you all are doing here. The fact that Keller Christ is probably not going to be the starter, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But here's the attaboy. Because he is the prime example of a great student athlete, two-time Pac-12 Academic Honorable Mention selection while starting in 13 games at Stanford. And the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award is presented by their Educational Foundation, and it's not presented to the best player. It is presented to the player that encapsulates all that is positive in college sports. So, it's not that this is an attaboy for his great play. It is an attaboy for the fact that he is a great student mixed with being an athlete. And so, there you go. I brought it back around on you. Tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're 100%. You're 100% right. I think with those preseason awards, it's really weird when guys get preseason awards that are in battles like a Keller Chris. But because it's academic, I totally understand why.
You look like Wilson. You look like Wilson right now. All we see on Facebook Live is
it's just the top of your face right there.
Because it's awkward, man. It's awkward when you have
a
player that may not play, may not start, being nationally recognized, and it comes across that it is a, you know, on the field award when really it's not.
Yeah, it's not an on
the field award. So when you hear Johnny Unitas Golden Arm, you're like, whoa, wait a minute, this is an on the field award. So that's why I'm, you know, slumping in my chair and sliding in my chair, and I'm still in this position because I can't get up.
I was also going to add that. You need some help over there?
Yeah, actually, I do need some help. So I'm just gonna sit right here until we take a break, and then you
go roll over.
I'm just gonna try to get up the best way I can without embarrassing myself.
How do they say when there's a fire? Stop, drop, and roll.
I'm gonna stop, drop, and roll. Yeah. All right. So do you have Attaboy Ben?
I do. Quick one. You have to give Ronald Acuna Jr. an Attaboy for what he's doing on the baseball field right now.
That was my Attaboy.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yep, part of me. Wow, I'm proud of you.
I got it right here,
Swain,
man.
Was gonna get a baseball attaboy.
You get the attaboy.
No, man, nope. I barely can breathe down here. So go ahead.
Well,
you got it.
Acuna has now hit 8 home runs in the span of 8 games, and yesterday, the Braves played a doubleheader against the Marlins. Oh, excuse me, that was the day before yesterday. And in the first game of the doubleheader, Ronald Acuna led off with a home run. And then in the second game of the doubleheader, Ronald Acuna led off with a home run. And then the Braves and Marlins played last night, and Ronald Acuna led off with a home run.
Stop pitching to him.
I don't want to. He's the Braves' leadoff batter, obviously, and the pitchers are just grooving fastballs right over the plate. Because from a pitcher standpoint, I've heard CeCe Sabathia say this, he throws a fastball every time because it's a confidence thing. It's an ego thing. It's my 97-mile-an-hour fastball. Hit it. So he kind of wants to groove in that first pitch. And Ronald Acuna is having none of it. He is going to ambush that pitch, as he has shown. He's now homered 8 times in an 8-game span, 6 times in a 5-game span, and 8 in 5 straight games. Just ridiculous stat after ridiculous stat. And right now, him and Juan Soto of the Nationals are fighting it out for the NL Rookie of the Year award.
He's made history. He's the fourth player in Major League history to hit leadoff homers in both games of a doubleheader. He's also the youngest player in Major League history to homer in 5 straight games, hitting a hit-off leadoff shot on the first pitch and adding a long ball in the seventh inning to help the Braves beat the Marlins. So he's making history, man. He is lighting it up. So, yeah, I had a baseball attaboy.
I'm very crazy. Proud of you.
That's right. I got proof right here. Charlie can tell you. I had it pulled up, ready to go.
It's true.
Yep. I mean, I'm all around. All around, man.
You look like Wilson.
Dude, I'm about to fall. It's a good ab workout, though. I'm over here shaking.
I bet.
Do we need to go to break?
Probably in a little bit so I can get up. I'm afraid if I move, like, the chair's going to slide back. And I'm gonna be on for what today? So, you know what? Let's just talk to Chris Lowe. Let's just do that, okay? We're gonna talk to Chris Lowe. He wrote an amazing article that is there on utsports.com about the 98 championship team this year. It's about celebrating the 20-year anniversary of that championship team. So, good quotes in there from Al Wilson, Pillars Price. We will talk to Chris Lowe. Coming up next here in the Swain event, his segment is brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. Stick around. Be right back.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue has a new slew of daily specials. Enjoy a different special meal every day, like the Chipotle Chicken Salad, the Chicken Tender Sandwich, or the Kitchen Sink Burrito filled with brisket, pulled pork, and chicken. Not to mention queso, jalapenos, and more. It's called the Kitchen Sink for a reason. Dead End isn't stopping at your plate, though. Be sure to check out their new summer drink offerings, including the Big Orange Crush, My Clementine, or the Tequila Squirt. There is always something new at Dead End Barbecue. Located off of Sutherland Avenue, Dead End Barbecue. The summer flavor search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's. Or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today. We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
Looking for a different way to enjoy the Swain event? Then check out Swain Event TV, brought to you by Toyota Knoxville. Follow the show on Periscope and Facebook Live.
When you know Chris Lowe is joining the show on the Swain event, there's no need to set an alarm clock because you just get up. You get up at like 4:30. You get up at 5 o'clock. You get up at 5:15 wondering, is it showtime? Do I get a chance to talk to Chris Lowe? And now we talk to Chris Lowe. The famous Chris Lowe here on the Swain event. His segment is brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. Chris Lowe. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jason. How are you, man?
Man, I'm wonderful, man. I've been waiting on this moment for hours, man, to talk to you about this awesome, awesome article here. You got quotes from Peter Price, Al Wilson. When I see a quote from Al Wilson, I get pumped up. This is going to be a fiery day today with some of our phone calls and then seeing Al Wilson's quote. But, man, you talked to some big time players in this article. One thing that stood out to me, Chris, is the makeup of this football team. There's a note in here on your article that there were players represented from 12 different states: Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Illinois, Maryland, Mississippi, North Carolina, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. 11 of the starters were from either Georgia or the Carolinas. 11 starters from Georgia or Carolina. The makeup of the top players in the country really hasn't changed much. If you look at it, those players still are in those areas. It makes you kind of think about, okay, what Tennessee has to do now. But that really stood out to me, Chris.
Well, you're right. And, Jason, it's a reminder of the recruiting reach that the program had under Coach Fulmer at that time. And the way that Tennessee was able to go into those neighboring states and beat, tradition-rich programs for good football players. I think outside of Florida, the percentage of players recruited in the state by Division I schools or FBS schools is Georgia, which is not surprising. I mean, now Georgia's not as big as the state of Florida, but per capita, there's as many good football players in the state of Georgia as anywhere in the country. Certainly elite football players that are recruited by FBS schools. So what's that tell you? You know, that Tennessee is not going to get every great player in Georgia, obviously, not with Kirby Smart recruiting the way he is, and Auburn and Alabama and Florida all recruiting that state. But you got to get some every year. You know, you look at that team in 98, and Jamal Lewis was from Georgia, Deion Grant, Fred White, Steve Johnson, yeah, and I'm forgetting other guys, but there were a ton of key guys. Cozy Coleman was from Georgia. There were a ton of key guys on that team from Georgia. And I think the Carolinas are equally important, not just North and South Carolina, but North Carolina. You know, Sean Bryson was a North Carolina kid. Now, Jay Graham wasn't on that team, but he was from, just north of Charlotte. Now, Leonard Lowell, the year before on the 97 SEC Championship team, was from Asheville. Those states, and Jeremy Pruitt knows this, I mean, he certainly knows it better than I do, are going to be critical to Tennessee if Tennessee can get its program back to being elite again and being a team that competes for championships. You know, it's been a long time. It really has. And, you know, as I worked on that article a month or so ago and talked to all these guys, and
you know, the cool thing that I do in that story is I was there. I covered that team. I was every practice, every game. Still keep in touch with all those guys. I still talk regularly with Al. I had a chance to catch up with Pearl. I still talk to Fred White. A ton of those guys. T, you know, I see T a ton, you know, now that he's out at USC. And just sort of going down memory lane. But it reminded me of, I guess we all, and I'm included in this, we all took for granted during that time of the kind of talent that was flowing through the campus at UT. I mean, you just, you know, when I go over there now, and I know Jeremy Pruitt is working hard to get this back. It's going to take a while. But you don't see guys like Fred Weary and Cozy Coleman and Jamal Lewis and Deion Grant, you know, walking across campus, you know. Billy Ratliff, I mean, those kind of guys. I mean, think about that backfield that year, Jason. You had the same backfield, Sean Bryson, Jamal Lewis, Travis Henry, Travis Stevens. Jamal Lewis was the best running back in college football that year. He gets hurt in the third game. Tennessee didn't skip a beat the rest of the year. And I remember talking to Billy Ratliff and Fred, some of those guys, about that. And they said, listen, we knew how low we were at running back on defense because we were having to tackle those guys every day. I think it was Fred. I don't know if it was Billy or Fred that said, tackling Travis Henry was like trying to tackle bowling ball. So we knew what everybody else were facing on defense that we played that year. And even though Jamal was a great football player, we knew we were going to drop ball. But that's the kind of depth of talent that that team has. Or had, and that's kind of depth and talent that Alabama has now. You know, that's what it takes to win at a high level, and that's, you know, what Jeremy and his staff are working toward.
You talked to several guys here noted in this article. Are there some quotes that stood out from conversations you've had with members of the 98 team that you did not put in the article that is, worth mentioning today?
Yeah, well, you know, Peerless Pearlis and I talked a lot about sort of what we were just talking about the incredible collection of talent on that team. You know, the funny thing, too, is that team sort of touted itself. Jason has been a team of no stars. And the reason being is they just lost Peyton. They just lost Leonard Little, Marcus Nash. You know, you had all these guys that were being selected in the draft. And I think there was a general sense. Even Coach Fulmer admitted this. There was a general sense around the program. Not in that locker room, I can promise you, but around the program that Tennessee's window to win a championship had closed because Peyton was gone. Well, nothing against Peyton, but those guys in the team, Al Wilson and Billy Rowland, Fred White, Peerless, they took that personally.
They should.
And they knew they were talented. And you can go back and look at that team. Go back and look at how many, I think I put the numbers in the story, how many guys on that team played pro football. And Peerless and I were talking about that. You know, Peerless played 9 or 10 years in the league. And Peerless is like, you know, I'm not sure that Tennessee will get all the way back to that point. Maybe they will. He said, I certainly hope they will in my lifetime. He said, but that was a time in Tennessee football history that was special. And we know I think the way he put it to me is, Chris, we know it can happen. We did it. But you're going to have to hit it just right. And I think that's why people ask about Pruitt and why Pruitt, why Phillip went with Pruitt. I think Jeremy's background of being a recruiter and evaluating talent and having connections and ties in the SEC footprint. And I think probably just as important, Jason, the staff of recruiters, coaches that he's assembled around him, at least give Tennessee a chance to go out and do that. The landscape's different now, too. Let's be honest. And that doesn't diminish anything that they did then. But, you know, you didn't have Dabo Swinney over in South Carolina recruiting like crazy. You didn't have, you know, Kirby. And I think at that point, Donovan was at Georgia. So you didn't have Kirby Smart and his recruiting machine at Georgia. You know, you had Brad Scott at South Carolina. So it was, the surrounding states were a little bit more vulnerable to go in and get players. And let's face it, Coach Fulmer had built the program to a point from a prestige standpoint and the kinds of talent they were getting in there, that those kids wanted to come to Tennessee. You know, they were able to build off what Peyton had done and what Heath Shore had done for him and a lot of those players. And I think that's why it takes, you know, it sort of manifests itself, and that's why it's not an overnight fix. But I think a lot of those players on that team that I've talked to, you know, they're a lot like you. I mean, they're pissed that the program has slipped the way it has. Pardon my French, but I every one of them use that word. Some of them use stronger language because they still bleed orange, you know, from Al to Peerless to Fred to Billy Ratliff, Jeff Hall. I mean, all the guys I talked to, Spencer Riley, there's immense pride among that group, among the collection of players who played in that era. You know, and even before that, you talked to Leonard Little and some of those guys. They were 45-5, Jason, Tennessee was, from 95 to 98. 45-5 with two SEC titles and one national title. In fact, when they won the SEC titles in 97 and 98 back-to-back, they were nobody in the SEC had won back-to-back SEC titles until Alabama in this most recent run where they've won three straight. So think about that. Almost 20 years went by before anybody repeated his SEC championship again, which tells you how hard it is to do that and just what an accomplishment that was. So that's the blueprint for all Tennessee fans. Is it the expectation again? Is that the standard? That's a hell of a standard to get up to, you know, to live up to. But I think that's what, if you talk to most Tennessee fans, and certainly if you talk to Philip Fulmer and Jeremy Pruitt, they expect to play for and win championships.
Chris Lowe here on the Swain Event via the B-Draw Waterproofing Hotline. Chris, there's a potential awkward situation that is out in front of us here. It's a pink elephant in the room, and I want to bring it up today because I can see this being a conversation here in a couple weeks. And the potential awkward situation is that you have T. Martin, who was the quarterback on that team, won a championship. He did not get an interview like many of us thought he would get when the coaching search was going on for Tennessee. And you're honoring this team. Now, USC, Chris, they play on a Thursday night that week. And many folks will be wondering, is T. Martin going to join his teammates here in Knoxville? And I want to make sure folks understand that T. Martin has a son that is playing D1 football, too. And so Amari Rodgers is at Clemson, and I don't know if T. Martin has the opportunity to really go to one of his son's games like this. Cool opportunity. So you got opportunity to come here, be recognized with your teammates, even though the situation's awkward with what happened there with the coaching search. But he does have a son who's playing major college football, and he won't have many opportunities to be able to do that, and that's go watch Amari play. What do you think about what I just said about maybe that potential awkward situation for T. Martin?
I can tell you this, Jason. I've talked to T a bunch over the last couple of years. Talked to him a bunch during that process. In fact, we texted last night. And we remained close. And of course, I covered T that year. It's been pretty cool to watch his career grow, you know, from when he was down, I guess he was coaching small college ball to Kentucky and now being at USC. You know, I don't want to really speak too much for T because I don't think that's fair.
Yep.
But what I will say is this. I've learned as I've gotten older that it's hard to really judge. We shouldn't judge, period. But it's hard to express what someone's feeling or what someone's going through unless you've walked in their shoes. And so I would say put yourself in T's shoes during that process. You know, you won a national championship at Tennessee. You've been a really successful offensive coordinator at USC. He loves Tennessee. And he didn't get an interview, rightfully or wrongfully so. Now, Coach Fulmer did talk to him, but he didn't get a formal interview. He didn't at least get a chance to say, hey, sit down and this is my vision for the program. This is my plan. This is what I think I can do. This is how we're going to do it. This is who I'm going to hire. You know, I know he deserved that opportunity. Maybe I'm biased because T and I go back a long way.
Mm-hmm.
That's no reflection of who Coach Fulmer hired or Jeremy. I mean, he's got the kind of guy and the right guy to get Tennessee back. But I know this also about T, because we've talked about it a lot. T has unbelievable memories of that team and that season and what that season and that team meant to the university and to the state. I mean, he's not bitter. I mean, some people have said that he might be. He loves that team. We talked at length. T was gracious enough the time he gave me that I did that story. And when you go back and read the story, he's quoted extensively throughout that story, talking about the team and the guys on that team. You know, they still keep in touch with T and love him and know what kind of competitor he was. Imagine stepping in the shoes that he did. You know, imagine following Peyton Manning as quarterback. And T just was unflappable that year. He wasn't perfect, you know. He started slowly, but as Al said in the article, he never flinched, man. He just kept getting better and better and made big play after big play. And that's the part that I know T cherishes, the fact that that team came together and did something so special, unbeaten, won a national championship. Is he disappointed in the way that the hiring process went down? Absolutely, but I don't think that in any way, in his mind, diminishes what happened 20 years ago. I think he's moved on. I probably would, too. He's going to be a head coach at some point, somewhere. There's no doubt in my mind. And, you know, he should get that shot. Now, whether he comes back or not for the reunion, we haven't really talked about that. I know that it's not like he said he's never going to come back or anything like that. But you're right, Amari plays at Clemson, and I know if he's got a chance to go see his son play that weekend, and I'm sure that there'll be a lot made of it, why he is or why he's not there, you know, family's going to come first, you know, and that Tennessee football team certainly is his family, but Amari's his son.
Exactly.
That's going to win out every time. So I would ask Tennessee fans, whatever happens along those lines, to remember T. Martin and what he meant to that team, the way he patiently, and let's not forget this, he patiently waited his turn. You know when Peyton decided to come back in 97, and what a great deal that was for Tennessee, for college football. But put yourself in T's shoes. So he thought it was going to be his gig for 2 years. Well, he really only, you know, for 3 years, actually. He only ended up getting those 2 years, 98, 99, but he never complained. You know, he continued to work. He hung in there. Imagine this day and age that had happened. I guarantee you most quarterbacks would have cut and run and transferred somewhere else or tried to go somewhere else. But T did, and he stuck it out. He was one of the leaders on that 98 team. And, hey, in 99, they can make 3rd and 2 against Florida. Or even if they don't give up the long touchdown against Arkansas, they're playing for it again at a national championship. So I'm a big T. Martin fan, always have been. Great heart. And a guy that I don't know anybody on that football team that played with him. You know, whether it was a center, Spencer Riley, whether it was guys on defense like Julia Ralph or Al Wilson, you don't have anything but good things to say about T. And I would hope the fans would remember him in that manner as well when the celebration happens, whether he is there or isn't there.
And the reason why I brought that up, Chris, because, you know, I'm looking in the future. I kind of know how – you know, you got the social media age and you got people who just react. And, you know, I can see where T on that particular week, USC plays on Thursday. He's going to have opportunity, Chris, to fly from L.A. to Atlanta because Clemson plays at Georgia Tech that week and watch his son play. Or come to Knoxville and be honored with the 98 championship team 20 years. Hey, family comes first, and I'm just laying that out so that way when this – if it happens, then people could know the real story and not jump to conclusions and create their own narratives. But I kind of see this in the future. I see this down the road, you know, being a talking point later. And so that's why –
Come on, man. There are never any false narratives created on social media. Didn't you know that we all have an agenda?
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
No, it's good. I appreciate you bringing that up because I'm sure that will happen. But I think most of the people that love the program and you know, the alumni that were there know that what an integral part of that team he was, and know what he meant to that team. And I know one thing, man. He loves his guys on that team. He loved that team. And we talked a couple times to this story, and he called me back every time and was more than willing to talk about it, share his memories. There was no resentment or it didn't even come up about the coach search. And we've talked about it in the past, the two of us, but he was more than happy to talk about that team and what it meant, and what it meant to the whole state of Tennessee, you know, to get that national championship.
Good. Chris Lowe here on the Swain event. His article is there at utsports.com. It's called Undefeated and Unmatched, Remembering the 1998 National Championship, the undefeated magical season led by Tennessee linebacker Al Wilson. They just lost Peyton Manning, lost Terry Fair, lost Marcus Nash, and Leonard Little. But this team was very, very close, and we've had Fred on the show so many times, and that's one thing he always talks about is how close that team is. And I can, you know, I'm jealous of how tight those guys are to this day. I mean, they're so tight. They're close-knit, and that's why they won a championship. You know, losing that talent, they played together. They played for one another. They held each other accountable, and that is why they were able to win. Yeah, they had talent, but a lot of teams have talent. It was that they played together. They loved each other, and they really were a family, really were. Chris, you've covered college football for a very long time. I watched the interview, the press conference yesterday from Maryland, where the president AD spoke about the player that passed away tragically after a workout. And the president, and it's something I just haven't seen, the president said that Maryland takes legal and moral responsibility for what happened, and apologizing to the family there. I'm not gonna lie, I teared up, I cried, because I just couldn't imagine, you know, losing a child. And I cried losing teammates like Daniel Brooks and Jesse Maalona. You know, your thoughts on that situation there at Maryland?
Well, I thought what you saw was the president being presidential and saying, "Listen, it's on us. We own it. As an institution, as a university, we failed this kid probably in a number of different areas." I when things like this happen, Jason, in my world, there's so many questions that are asked. You know, who dropped the ball? What's going to happen to the head coach? You know, is there a bigger issue with off-season strength and conditioning? I go back to that family and that kid. You know, a young kid playing college football, dying in off-season drill. And that just shouldn't happen. Just should not, never should happen. But certainly not now with all the precautions and the technology. You know, football, you play, you know, it's such a tough, physical, violent sport. And it's a game played by men. And every coach out there wants a tough football team who's in unbelievable shape. They want to push that team to the limit before the season because they want to know what they got, quite frankly, before they get into those games. But there's a line there you can't cross. And the game and society, thankfully, is different than it was when I grew up, probably when you grew up. You know, I can remember the big guys not being able to finish sprint. The linemen, they'd make them roll to the finish line. Can you imagine that happening now in this day and age?
Well,
you know, we get salt tablets. Water was seen as a sign of weakness if you needed water in practice. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, back in the prehistoric ages when I was in school. But thankfully, we passed that. But that's been my overriding thought is the McNair kid and his family and losing him senselessly at such a young age. And listen, I'm not going to – I don't know all the details. I know some of the things that's alleged. There's always two sides to every story. But clearly, we have to do better. And if you know, the strength and training staff drop the ball, and did not have this kid's safety, or did not follow proper protocol, then that's something they're all going to have to live with. And I think the Maryland president would go back and listen to his comments and say, hey, we didn't do everything we could. You know, because, yeah, we're all out here to, you know, it's competitive, we want to win, but the first priority, and every coach that ever goes into a kid's home, when you were recruited at a high level, tells that kid's parent and grandparent that, listen, I'm going to take care of your son.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to make sure he graduates. I'm going to take care of him. I'm going to watch after him. I'm going to push him. I'm going to challenge him. I'm going to help him become a young man. And then you go into somebody's home and tell them that. The first thing, the number one thing, is just you're going to make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen in this case.
Chris, over the last couple of years, the Big Ten has had several scandals, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, so on and so forth. Does the Big Ten have a cultural problem, or is it just kind of just bad luck from a conference perspective?
You know, you're right. It's been a horrible run. A scandal for the Big Ten, you know, from the awful deal at Michigan State, Nassau, and this with Maryland, and the turnover stuff at Penn State. You know, you got what's going on with the fire being on the lead. I don't think it's just the Big Ten. I mean, you go back, and a lot of schools around the country, that is, but the types of off-field stuff, I mean, you go back, you know, look at what happened at Baylor, you know, and when Art Briles was there. You know, the sexual assault, domestic abuse, kids dying in off-season workouts, that to me is at a whole different level than, you know, kids being paid or agent involvement. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that, I mean, I think it's more of, sadly, I think it's more of a reflection on society now. I'll tell you this. I've had the pleasure the last week to sit down with three of the greats, Steve Spurrier, Bobby Bowden, and Coach Tom Osborne yesterday. I mean, still in Nebraska. And I asked them about some of these things, some of the things that have happened, you know, the domestic abuse, the heightened awareness, thankfully, in our country, and domestic abuse and sexual assault, and some of the things that have happened at schools along those lines. And Coach Osborne and Coach Bowden at length talked about something, and I agree with them, that at the root of a lot of these things is the decay of the American home. And I don't want to, you know, again, I'm telling you what they said. I don't want this to sound like I'm preaching, but I agree with them. You know, Coach Bowden said, Chris, the last 10 years, and Coach Osborne sort of echoed this yesterday, when I'd go on to recruit these kids, it was stunning how many of them didn't have a dad or a male figure in the home. You know, it just didn't, you know, that it was some sweet grandmother or mom or trying doing their best to raise them. I mean, those kids always were sometimes the hardest to discipline. You know, they didn't accept a discipline as well. They had trouble associating with authority figures once they got on the campus. Some of them had demons in their past. But that's the part, I think, that changed the most. They're not just athletic. Is there's so many kids now that are coming up that aren't raised in two-parent homes. And that doesn't mean they can't overcome it. It doesn't mean the parent, if it's a single dad or a single mom, isn't doing a great job with it. But I do think when you talk to some of these coaches who've seen it sort of run the gamut, like Coach Bowden and Coach Osborne, and did it for so long and see it evolve, that they have a keen perspective on that. And I think that's a part of this. I mean, unfortunately, a part of what we're seeing. And, you know, Coach Osborne has a mentoring program now. He's got nearly 9,000 kids. He probably travels around, recruits mentors, raises money for kids who need a male figure, a male mentor in their life. And that's something that's very near and dear to his heart. But I think that's a, you know, if you start looking at some of these awful, tragic things that are happening, I think that's one of the pieces of the puzzle that's missing.
Chris Lowe here in a Swain event. His article there at utsports.com. Please, please, please go check it out. It's called Undefeated and Unmatched, remembering the 98 national champions. And this team will be honored at the Florida game this year. Chris, it's always a pleasure, my friend, to talk to you and have a conversation with you here on the show.
Same here, Jason. And I tell you, when you go over to Dead End this week, tell George hello for me and make sure you load brisket for me.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I got you, man. I know you're hitting the road. I know you're traveling. So whenever you're in town, you know, we got to get over there and break some bread. So, Chris, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate you, man. CeeLo, ESPN on Twitter is where you can find Chris. Chris' time here on the Swain Events brought to you by Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, where they specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. They treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including rotator cuff surgery, knee instability, elbow and foot problems by injecting the stem cells and also doing PRP, which is called platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment is under ultrasound guidance. And you can learn more by visiting trsportsmedicine.com. So very, very beneficial procedure there at Tennessee Sports Medicine, Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. And I'm a living testimony. Ankle injury, knee injury. I've had both ligaments worked on at Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, and I can tell you it absolutely works. No surgery, not down for any extended amount of time, and we're seeing more and more of those type of techniques used at the pro level and more of it used at the college level. That is Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, trsportsmedicine.com. Swain Event, be right back.
If you love the Swain Event and you want more of the show every day, you can now get it with Swain Event Plus. Swain Event Plus features exclusive, in-depth interviews with former Vols.
She saved my life. I probably would have never made the tournament, man.
I looked at him and said, Coach, no disrespect. I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going to play in the SEC.
With Swain Event Plus, you can also get access to the exclusive podcast Reel on the Hill with Tennessee media legend John Bryce.
What is going on there with that battle?
I had lunch with some folks over the course of this past week who indicated some inside the program believe that Jarrett Garantano is really ready to take that next step.
So go to SwainEventPlus.com right now to sign up and check out all of the amazing extras that you can get. That's SwainEventPlus.com. Get more.
Touchdown or turnover is up next on the Swain Event.
Get ready for a better school year by shopping the back-to-school sale at Better Mattress happening now. Whether you're a parent or a student, you know a good night's sleep makes a difference in your day. Whether it's the patience to sit in school traffic or the concentration you need to pass your test, a better night's sleep is super important for the whole household. Right now, choose a twin, full, or queen bundle deal, all starting at just $379. The back-to-school bundle deal from Better Mattress is everything you need in one stop for a better night's sleep. Get a mattress, box spring, frame, sheets, and a memory foam pillow, all delivered for free, starting at just $379. You choose the size twin, full, or queen, the price stays the same. We know one size doesn't fit all. Over a dozen different mattresses qualify for this offer. Have a better school year this year. Get the Better Mattress back-to-school bundle deal while supplies last. Tell them Seth sent you and ask to try my mattress. Don't wait. Shop now. Chat live with a representative at bedrmattress.com. Good night just got better.
When I made the move to my own studio, I was worried about this. I was worried about that. I was worried about, hey, did I get this piece of equipment? Did I get that piece of equipment? Does that sound good? Does that not sound good? One thing I didn't have to worry about, that was Office Furniture, because Office Furniture Outfitters met my furniture needs. With a 50,000 square foot facility, they have East Tennessee's largest selection and are the best value for new and used office furniture. Located in Knoxville, it's easy to find everything you need for your new space, including desks, file cabinets, chairs, conference tables, and more. Office Furniture Outfitters is turnkey. They came to my place, we mapped everything out that was needed, they delivered, and get this,
set everything up. To learn more about what Office Furniture Outfitters can do for you, log on to OFONOX.com. That's OFONOX.com.
All right, team, listen up. It's tailgating time again in Tennessee. But most importantly, team, you're going to need to refi that tailgate and the truck it's attached to. With a refinanced auto loan with Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union with their Got That promotion, they'll give you up to $500 for your debt.
Are you serious, coach?
That's right, Johnny. Alcoa 10 will pay you up to $500 for your debt. Now, let's get out there and spread the word. Say it with me. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10. Alcoa 10.
ATFCU is an equal housing lender.
Touchdown or Turnover is backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong.
Touchdown or Turnover, backed by Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong. Better rates and better service. ATFCU is their website there. I want to make this Touchdown Turnover about A.J. Johnson, too. We saw some photos from Broncos camp of some rookies with the George Jefferson haircut. I remember when Tim Tebow had it a couple years ago. But this is a part of the rookie hazing that takes place in the NFL. Touchdown turnover. A.J. Johnson signed with the Denver Broncos. He is technically a rookie. Do you think he will be hazed as a rookie with the Denver Broncos? Touchdown, turnover.
Touchdown. And I know that there's some sentiment yesterday that AJ has already been hazed. He doesn't need to be hazed. Well, while that is true to a certain extent, if I'm AJ, I want to be hazed. Let me forget about what's happened the last 4 years. Let me get back to being a football player. And part of being a football player is going through the tradition of being hazed. So I think he will. If I'm the Broncos' defensive leaders, if I'm Von Miller, I'm not letting anybody touch AJ's dreads. AJ's dreads are like a vibranium.
Yes.
That's his superpowers. It feels him. The energy like goes through every
Samson.
Part of the dread. So you can't mess with the dread. So I say touchdown. I think AJ will be hazed in other ways, carrying shoulder pads, helmets, the simple stuff. And if I'm AJ, I want that to happen. I want to get back to normal.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's a touchdown for me. He should be just – he shouldn't be handled with kids' gloves just because he's had a hard four years. He's still new to the league, and he's just at this point – just your normal rookie showing up. And I think, yeah, if you're AJ, you want to be treated like that. You don't want to be handled, but he had this whole thing. No, just, treat me like a normal guy. And that, at least in that situation, I have to feel like that's what he would prefer.
Yeah, I mean, I know he would want to be treated like a normal guy and be just one of the guys. That's something you miss being away from the game, is that camaraderie, that locker room. And yes, he would probably want to be hazed. The leaders on that team, the veterans in each room, do they feel like they need to do it? If I was on that team, man, I would I would look at AJ and go, man, AJ puts everything in perspective. You know, he is going to treat each play like it's his last. He's been waiting 4 years for this opportunity. And one verdict could have went the other way, and he could have not been a free man. So, yes, AJ probably wants to be hazed and wants to be treated like a normal player. But what will Von Miller do? What will those guys do in their locker room? Do they treat him different because of what he went through? That's my question. I'm going to say touchdown. I think carrying pads is a part of the haze, and it is part of kind of the culture tradition at the NFL. When you have rookies, they do that. So
I just hope they don't mess with his dreads, man. It takes a whole lot of time to grow those and maintain those and make sure that they're looking nice. And I would hate for someone to do something to those dreads. They need to color them. If you're gonna do anything to AJ's dreads, how about you dye them like a crazy color? And you could always dye that back.
Yeah, and AJ would probably like that. When he was at Tennessee, if I remember correctly, he dyed his tips orange.
Yeah,
and they look like red hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
So that's probably something AJ would like. They should dye them orange, Denver Bronco orange. You know how cool that would be to see Denver? He'd have Cheetos coming out of the back of his helmet.
If I was on that team, I would probably dye them rainbow. I would, because that's... I would dive the rainbow.
This is an interesting question, but can you do that in today's climate?
Are you appropriating culture if you do that?
I could see some people being offended by that, unfortunately.
And Denver, dude, Denver is a... Is
get
a,
over it.
It's and a progressive Denver's, stronghold. I mean, it's very liberal, yeah. So...
Hey. Think, say what you want, man. Like, I can't wear different colors at the same time now? I mean... Like I can't. I saw some tennis shoes that had all the colors and the color wheel on them. So I can't wear a bunch of colors at the same time because of gay community.
I agree with you. I'm just saying there will be people out there who will not be in favor of it.
Hey, as long as you know no one's being disrespected, which coloring AJ Johnson's dreads all different type of colors is not disrespectful at all. If you get offended by that,
I agree.
Then you need to go stand in the corner,
reevaluate.
And like you sensitive. You know you're getting triggered way too easily. Get offended too easily. But if I was administering the hair dyeing, I wouldn't let AJ slide with just one color. I would do multiple colors. Multiple colors. Pink and red and yellow. I wanted it to look crazy. Because I couldn't cut another man's dreads. That's just wrong.
No, that's just wrong.
I couldn't do that, man. That's
not
a long time.
That's not hazing. That's bullying.
Yeah, that's just too much.
That's torture.
Man. That's too much.
Yeah, we can get a Skittle flavors.
Yeah, let's
In honor of Skittles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sure Marshawn Lynch, or we could get Alvin to hook him up with the Airhead flavors.
Do that. Yeah, do that. So I think he will be hazed. I think it'd be really cool to see that happen.
Some of those haircuts were awful. It looked like wild hyenas.
It was brutal.
It was hilarious.
Did y'all ever do that to folks' hairs?
No. I think it was my junior, senior year. It was my junior year. It was the first year that we kind of stopped doing that stuff and did, like, talent shows and stuff like that. I never made someone hold my pads at all. My freshman year, I went through it, a little hazing. And then my sophomore year, I didn't go through it on either side. I didn't really want to participate. I thought it was funny. But I didn't really want to participate. And then my junior, senior year, we didn't do it at all. So
y'all got in trouble, didn't you? And kind of had to put a stop to it.
I don't think it was trouble. I think you saw what was happening around college football, the landscape, and with fraternities and stuff like that. And I think Coach Fulmer just saw how it can get out of hand, and how someone can get hurt, or how you can have a potential lawsuit, or something happens, and he just encouraged us to find other ways, and we did the talent show. So I don't think anyone got like in trouble. Of course, people, you know, every class is gonna get mad and not want to do it because they still think they're a five star. It's like, no, man, you're not a five star anymore. And the way it was before was anyone new to the organization, it doesn't matter if you're a coach, a trainer, or, you know, strength conditioning coach, or a player, you went through hazing. So I remember when Trooper Taylor, his first year in 04, he went through hazing. Everyone does it. It's kind of just a initiation thing. It's fun, but it can go too far. We've seen stories of young people losing their lives because it went too far. And so you just want to make sure it doesn't happen. And the way that you make sure it doesn't happen is just don't do it. So
I like the talent shows. I saw obviously I followed the Steelers on Twitter. And they put out a video of their little talent show, and they had a bunch of rookies redo the scene from Black Panther where the people from the mountain come down and he's got the axe. Wakanda. Khalil McKenzie does a good – I forget the guy's name, but does a good –
It looks just like him.
Imitate. Yes, that that too.
Yeah, he looks just like him.
I'm a fan of the talent shows because I'd rather be hazed than have to get up there and sing in front of my teammates, quite frankly. That's more intimidating and embarrassing than being thrown in a pool or tied up to a goalpost or having to carry shoulder pads. Or now, I would say I would not want to have my hair cut the way that those gentlemen had their hair cut.
Yeah, there's been guys tied to the goalpost, shaving cream and, you know, sprayed on them, water, jelly. I mean, all kind of crazy stuff has happened, you know, over the years in football. So let's see what happens with old AJ if he goes through that.
I think we should haze on the Swain event. We'll get Todd Charlie up to the desk or something.
Everybody's been here long enough. Hour 3, around the corner, 8:50 a.m., 100.9 FM. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Be right back.